and welcome to Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts. I'm Michaela Kennan, here live in the KRCB studios with my co-host, Gary Carnevale. I've got Mary Moore Campagna on the engineering boards, and we've an exciting show for you in store tonight. Our guests will be Emily Webster. She is the organizer of the second, now coming up, LGBT Seniors Dance this Saturday in Sebastopol. And also Raynetta James. She is producing the Occidental Center for the Arts' new Friday night film series. We'll hear more about that later on. Right now, here's Greg Moralia with the Outbeat Radio News and Calendar.
Say tell it like it is.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, February 17th, 2013. President Obama announced this week that he will posthumously honor Jean Manford, co-founder of Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, with a Citizens Medal. In 1972, Manford and her husband Jules formed a support group for parents of gay children, an organization that grew into PFLAG, after their son Morty was brutally beaten during a gay rights protest in New York City and police failed to intervene. In the years that followed, Manford continued to march and organize even after losing Morty to AIDS in 1992. Jean Manford died at the age of 92. PFLAG Executive Director Jody Huckabee said Jean was one of the fiercest fighters in the battle for acceptance of equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. And also on Tuesday, Facebook administrators removed a page created in 2011 dedicated to the practice of consensual, unprotected sex between two men known as barebacking. The page reportedly had more than 20,000 likes. Facebook confirmed that the page had been taken down, but did not provide an explanation as to why. Facebook's community standards prohibit nudity, underage pornographic content, and promotion of self-harm, but the barebacking page did not appear to violate any of these restrictions. The page was apparently being used by men to hook up with other men interested in having unprotected sex, and on that page, moderators regularly posted images of a, quote, featured bareback member who had submitted a sultry photo to be shared with the group. And Valentine's Day for LGBT couples in Illinois got a little sweeter on Thursday, with the Illinois State Senate voting in favor of marriage equality by a margin of 34-21, this according to Windy City Times. The Religious Freedom and Marriage Fairness Act now heads to the House, where supporters say passage is not yet assured. Representative Greg Harris, the House sponsor of the legislation, said, "The momentum is building, and more House members are telling me that they want to be on the right side of history and that they intend to support the bill." Support for marriage equality is growing nationally and in Illinois, and we're seeing that reflected in the mood of the House. Governor Pat Quinn, a Democrat who had been a vocal supporter of the legislation, has promised to sign the bill should it arrive on his desk. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, February 18th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., Jesse's support group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. This support group is led by Jesse, who speaks both English and Spanish, and all parents are welcome. And also on Monday and every Monday through April 15th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will host Wee Bowling at the Rainbow Cattle Company in Guerneville. There will be weekly cash prizes, drink specials, and hot dogs. Proceeds benefit Sonoma County Pride, and the cost to get in is $2. And on Tuesday, February 19th from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street. And on Thursday, February 21st, from 9:30 a.m. until 11 a.m., Spectrum will host the Novato Senior Breakfast at Sam's Place, 1545 South Novato Boulevard in Novato. This is a self-facilitated group for men and women who are at least 50 years old. And also on Thursday, from 7 to 9 p.m., the Men for Men support group will gather at the Marin AIDS Project, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. And also on Thursday at 7 p.m., Bowling Night Out and About will happen at the Double Decker Lanes, 300 Gold Course Drive in Roanoke Park. This new monthly event is for all level of bowlers. The cost is $4.75 per game, and shoe rental is $3.75. And on Friday, February 22nd at 10:30 a.m., the Sonoma Valley Seniors Group will gather at the Vintage House Senior Center, 264 First Street in Sonoma. And on Saturday, February 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Food for Thought Food Drive will take place at the 4th Street Safeway in Santa Rosa, the Guerneville Safeway, and Oliver's in Santa Rosa. And also on Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m., the Santa Rosa Gaydar Afternoon Mingle will happen at the Equus Restaurant and Bar Lounge, 101 Fountain Grove Parkway in Santa Rosa. And finally on Saturday from 6:30 to 11 p.m., LGBT and Friends Dance and Meetup Party will be held at the Sebastopol Senior Center, 167 North High Street in Sebastopol. DJ Dave Brown will spin songs from the 50s through the 80s. Light snacks and soft drinks will be available. Admission is $10. If you have news and event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatnews.com and follow us all week long for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage with Michaela Kennan and Gary Carnevale.
Emily Webster is the program director of Sebastopol Area Senior Center. Last year, she helped organize an LGBT and Friends dance and meetup party, and nearly 200 folks attended. Next week, the event happens again, Saturday, in Sebastopol. Emily Webster will tell us all about the event, as well as some of the other issues facing LGBT seniors. Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Emily.
Thank you for having me and giving me this great opportunity. I appreciate it.
And welcome back. Again, you were here just, about 6 months ago?
August.
Yeah, talking about this. So what was going to become a yearly event is now a biannual event, or so it seems, due to popular demand. So tell us about what's coming up next Saturday.
Next Saturday, I expect it will be as much fun as it was in August. When we had the event in August, we had no idea it was going to be so well liked. And what happened in August was we had a wonderful disc jockey who played requests, but he played music from the 50s, 60s, well, actually the 40s even, but mainly 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, disco and salsa. People were requesting. It was great dance music, and it turned out to be more than a dance. It was a dance and a reminisce, because it was seniors acting like kids again. It was seniors just letting loose and getting down, only maybe doing it a little bit better than they used to when they were younger and having a lot more fun doing it. It was wonderful to be on the dance floor and see 80 people out there bopping around with big grins on their face. There wasn't a person who didn't have a big grin on their face. So that was delightful, and we expect the same thing. People, as they were leaving, would say, when are we going to do it again? My reaction was, oh, we'll do one next year. We'll do it every year. And no, we're not doing this every year. So it was that people wanted to do it every other month, every 3 months, on and on. And I finally got talked into doing another one in February. We changed the date a few times. I wasn't ready for it. But February 23rd is the date.
So give us a few more specifics. Where will it be held? How much will it cost? What will be happening there?
Sebastopol Area Senior Center. We are 167 North High Street. Our phone number is 829-2440, and it's $10 to get in. It's a donation for our senior center. We're nonprofit. And there will be food that comes with the admission. It'll be 6:30 to about 11:30. There'll be great music, great people. You may end up seeing people you haven't seen in years. So I was told by people who attended last time. They ran into people they hadn't seen in years. And that was good. There will be wine. I think we're selling wine $3 a glass. So it's sort of a blast from the past.
That's great. Other refreshments too?
Yes. And the refreshments, it's with the donation. There'll be food and sodas and punch and water.
And can folks get tickets in advance or just at the door?
At the door.
At the door. Okay.
Yeah.
And they can call that number for sort of additional information?
Sure. 829-2440.
Do you have a website? Do you want to give it to?
We do. SebastopolSeniorCenter.org.
And great.
We're happy to answer any questions.
Good, good. So I'm thinking that as the community matures, that there is less of this tendency to move away from the younger bar scene and into something that maybe is a little more peer appropriate. Have you found that out? Is this part of the popularity of the dance?
Yes. So it seems that people just had a wonderful time. I think I got the feeling being like a kid again and being able to just let it all hang out and be themselves in a nice, comfortable, safe environment. While we were putting this on, talking to many people, one of the things that I heard was, especially in, I don't know about everywhere else, but West County, where we are, no place to go dance. Not the bars don't have dancing. And most of the people, my question was always, where do you meet people? Online is what I was hearing. So this was a no-brainer, really. This was obviously needed.
That amazes me. I didn't know. Is there an online LGBT
dating service?
Dating service?
No, I didn't specifically ask, but I'm sure there is.
There must be.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And this is handicapped accessible if people are in chairs or
We're a senior center.
Good. What other things do you offer to LGBT seniors?
Our dances are first. And we've always, as it stands now, our programs, we try to make everybody feel comfortable. People come in, they hang out all day sometimes. They use our computers. They're just open to the public. And some of our classes and our programs are, everybody goes to them. There are people from the LGBT community hanging out or even coming to some of our classes that we have or our programs that we have. For instance, we have a big group from the LGBT community who are in our autobiographical writing class. Also in our ping pong group we have. And everybody is there. Now that I said that, I have to say that as a program director, I listen to seniors. I listen to what they want. I ask them what they want. I do surveys on what they want. Understanding now that I need to do, that people want to have more programs for the LGBT community, and there is a big senior community in the West County. So these are some of the things that I'm working on for the future that are not set now. One is a life story writing class, a monthly writing class led by Suzanne Sherman, who's a very good writing teacher. The other is, let me think, the other is my favorite that I want to do. I want to reach out to people in the community who are older adults, who are maybe frail elderly, who are not really open about their sexuality or how they feel, who maybe have lived with the same person for, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years, and that person died. Mm-hmm. So somebody who does feel alone, I want to have I guess you would call it a social group and maybe a meetup group or a social group and a support group. Mm-hmm. And I want these people, we would provide transportation. We do provide transportation.
That's
for
key.
People going to doctors and for people who come to the senior center. So this would be a specific group of people who maybe they don't all drive. So they would need transportation. Other things that I want to start would be the autobiographical one. Oh, I want to have a movie night, an LGBT movie night. That's been requested. And a relationship group. Have a person who could lead a social group and talk about relationships, working out problems and communicating better.
Mm-hmm.
That also would be a monthly group. So those are in the making.
That's ambitious.
And
very well needed.
And well needed.
Yeah.
And really nice of you to be thinking along those lines, particularly about LGBT seniors who often have problems, especially when they're in new housing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said there were about 100 and 170 folks at the last dance. Have you been able to come up with sort of a number of LGBT folks that you're serving overall?
No, I don't. I don't have a number for that.
I would imagine that would be fairly difficult.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And how do LGBT folks, how are they welcome within the senior community at your centers? Do you see that they're somewhat segregated, or that they can be open about their sexuality with everyone else that's there?
People can be open about their, people do feel open about it.
And you encourage that, certainly.
Oh, absolutely. We have our rainbow flag outside, and people come in often and tell me what they want. Mm-hmm. And people talk about their significant others. They'll I know one woman is giving a talk and talking about her wife, and nobody said anything, although I have to say some of the people in the audience may not have understood.
Gotten a little confused. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But people, we want people to feel open, and we have people in our staff who are members of the LGBT community, and we encourage this. We want to be a senior center where everyone mm-hmm. can feel,
nice.
Seniors can feel welcome. That's what we're there for.
And that actually brings up a good point, because so many seniors were very, very active in the 60s. And we're used to being out and vocal and verbal about their orientation and their political feelings. And we, of course, live in our little Sonoma County bubble here, or West Coast bubble here. I know it's not like this across the nation.
True.
Do you feel like people have somewhat been forced back into the closet, you know, just due to changing times? And to those who may feel a little isolated or a little unsure about stepping out, what suggestions or advice do you have to offer them?
You know, here we are isolated in our own little area in Sonoma County. And yet there are people even here who probably feel isolated. I know people in their 60s and 70s are open and not afraid to be open anymore. They're of a generation who they're going to get their way. Mm-hmm. But there are still elderly people who are not open, and they are here in our community. I was speaking to one before the last dance, who was going to a support group because she lost her wife, and she felt inhibited. She was not able to bring up that she was a lesbian. She wasn't able to talk about it to the group. And she finally did talk about it to the group, and it turned out the group could care less. But she had lived this life for so long, and there are still people who do feel afraid to come out. So it's not just everywhere, it's here too. Mm-hmm. And we try to one of the things we offer is our RIDE program. So we try to encourage people to come out and come to the senior center and meet people, and having that support group is what I'm offering. What about somebody who lives far away? I've thought that same thing. What about somebody who lives in an area where they do feel isolated? It's interesting to me, but there is a, maybe not everywhere, but I had a friend who was living in Bakersfield, and he thought that was going to be so horrible. Mm. And he was going to be so isolated, and it turned out that he joined a church. He found a church, I don't know, found it online or something, and had this tremendous support there was a good supportive LGBT community for him. So I think finding a church helps. That's what I've learned. And I think there's ways to reach out by going online or talking to others and finding ways to meet people. But he said in this odd little world that they live, the community was so strong that he belonged to. And that I thought that was very, very special.
You bring up another good point, too, because I realized as we were talking, I'm thinking a largely lesbian population. But this is not just a women's dance. This is open to men and women. It's open to everyone, actually. Mm-hmm. But of the people who attended, would you say that there was a mixed crowd, both men and women? Or?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. That's good to hear. So mm-hmm. I didn't want people to think that this was just maybe exclusively for the women's community.
No, no. There was a good mixed crowd there, and delighted to see people, men and women, hugging each other that haven't seen each other for a long time. And it wasn't just men sitting in one area and the women. People were mixing very
Wonderful.
Well.
Good.
It's great. Good. I mean, we live near this big urban center, the gay Mecca, and probably a lot of the seniors here are from cities where, you know, your community was just blocks away, and now sometimes it's miles away, and it's hard to get to other people, especially if you aren't particularly mobile. You've made some suggestions about reaching out to churches, but really, really tell us about your center and why people should look at Sebastopol Area Senior Center and the community itself. You've talked about what you have to offer, but talk about the individuals and the diversity there and what makes it so special.
We try to make it special. We try to make people feel at home. We try to be a big home away from home. And we also try to program, if people want a certain program, I don't just think up these programs and say, we're going to do this. What I do is I listen to what people say, and then we program for them. We also try to educate them. We bring in people to give talks from the community. Legal advice, transportation. We try to give them referrals. If somebody has a problem and they call us, we will go out of our way. All of us, every single person that works there, all of us will go out of our way to help that person. And if we can't figure it out, we will refer them. We sort of are a clearinghouse for referrals and help. We help seniors. We help them have quality life. We help them get the enrichment that they want to have. And we help them meet one another. And we help them live a good life, a darn good life, better than maybe when they were younger.
What is the source of your personal passion and commitment to working with LGBT? In particular,
I'm pretty passionate about working with seniors, and I don't know why. I just stumbled into the senior center as a volunteer many years ago, and I thought, I like seniors, and this was close to 20 years ago. I think I'll do that, and it became a lifelong passion. Mm-hmm. I grew up working with seniors now.
Good. And May I say, too, for people who do not have computer access or aren't real comfortable with computers, are there newsletters or some kind of written things that get
Yes.
mailed out?
Yes. We actually have computer classes, and we do have a newsletter that we send out to hundreds of people. There's actually a lot of people who are even dependent on us. They call us up and find out what's going on, and we keep them posted.
Okay, good.
So tell us a bit about your career, your education, and how you came to work with seniors.
Well, I was a parent, and then I wasn't wanted in the schools anymore by my daughter. I was volunteering a lot, and I started volunteering at the senior center, and then it turned into they asked me if I would. I worked with a frail elderly group, a day service group, and I really became passionate. I started in the office, and I loved working with the frail elderly seniors. I really enjoyed that, it became a job, and then it became a career for me. I ended up working for Oakmont and in Sonoma, and then back here in Sebastopol, where I'm now working for the senior center for close to 5 years. And I just love programming for them. I enjoy enriching somebody's life. I like people and enriching their lives. But also, all of us who work at the senior center, when somebody gets together with another person, whether it be a friendship or whether it be a couple or even if they get married and even if they break up, we are so delighted and that mm-hmm. just makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. That's a good job.
Sure, sure.
And you rely on volunteers to help, I would imagine?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're very few. There's also very few of us who work there.
Give us just a brief rundown of what goes into putting on something like this meetup and dance party. And if there are people who would like to volunteer and help make your job easier, how can they do it?
Okay. Well, we always need volunteers for special events, people to help set up or tear down or clean up or prepare food, to clean up during the event and especially put things away afterwards, people to decorate. We need people who can help in the office sometimes, certainly answer phones, be a receptionist. We need volunteer drivers. We always need volunteer drivers. We have an excellent, that's one of our greatest programs, is offering free rides to seniors. Transportation is a big issue. People can't get out anymore. They lose their licenses. So we have that. And we always need new drivers. They get very well trained, and that's quite a rewarding job in itself, too. Putting together a dance or any type of a special event is coming up with a date, coming up with creating a menu, creating a theme, creating the decorations, and getting all the volunteers lined up and in order and giving them, you don't want to give somebody 8 hours of work, so you've got to break it down to where they have 2 hour slots. We need help with even figuring those things out, somebody coordinating, somebody who's good at coordinating things. It's always, always helpful. So it's an ordeal. Also, getting the materials for it, the food for it. It's something that we can't always afford to go out and buy because we are a nonprofit. So there has to be a little bit of begging that goes on, and well, we do get the community does help a lot.
Sure,
and they cringe when they see me coming though.
But I think that's important for people to realize just how much goes into putting on even what sounds like a simple dance and meetup, because there are a myriad of things to think about and scheduling. And if you decide it's going to be red, white, and blue, what kind of red, white, and blue, and how are you going to get red, white, and blue things, and then the publicity part of it. So a big staff makes for a big volunteer staff, certainly makes for a lighter load and a much better event across the board.
Even coordinating the volunteers.
There you go. Right.
All right. We've got the LGBT and Friends Dance and Meetup Party next Saturday, February 23rd, 6:30.
6:30. You going to be there?
6:30 to 11:30. We'll be there.
Good.
We'll be there. Great. Emily, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for coming out again, and we'll have you back.
Good.
6 months from now for the third.
Right, or whenever. Whenever you plan to have another one. If it's next month, we'll try to do that.
Give us the phone number one more time.
829-2440.
And the website?
SebastopolSeniorCenter.org.
Very good.
Beautiful. Thanks,
Thanks,
Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
After a little break, we'll be right back with Renetta James from the Occidental Center for the Arts. Right now, we'll hear something from Grizzly Bear. They're a Brooklyn-based band with an out gay frontman named Ed Drust. The critically acclaimed alternative rock band released its fifth CD yet again late last year to rave reviews. In 2011, Drust married his longtime partner, interior designer Chad McPhail. Here's Ed and the rest of Grizzly Bear from Shields. This is Gunshy. Thank you.
frozen in my tracks. Nothing else to see. And when I move my face left, you're always standing there. Shadow I can't see. And even there I can't trace. You're walking away.
Listening to Outbeat Collage here on KRCB-FM. Support for Outbeat and all of our fine programs comes from KRCB members and from WACOBB.net. With over 10,000 members, WACOBB.net is a bulletin board for the North Bay progressive community, including a business directory featuring testimonials from our trusted business community. Information to list your business or find a service provider is available at WACOBB.net. That's WACCOBB.net, Connecting Conscious Community.
And welcome back to Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts. I'm Michaela Kennan here in studio with my co-host Gary Carnevale, Mary Moore Campagna on the engineering board. We are live here at KRCB in Sonoma County. My next guest is Raynetta James, who happens to sit on the board of directors of the Occidental Center for the Arts. Raynetta, nice to meet you, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Raynetta, offer us a brief history of the Occidental Center for the Arts. How did it all get started, and how did you come to finally call home this great new location?
Well, in 1998, Occidental activists Doris Murphy and Redwoods Arts Council founder Kit Newstander founded the Occidental Center for the Performing and Visual Arts, a nonprofit organization dedicated to finding a home venue for the Occidental Choir, the Redwood Arts Council concert series, and other artists in Occidental. Their vision was confirmed by a feasibility study completed by AMS Planning and Research that showed community support by individuals polled, as well as a demographic match in income and education in the area that would enjoy such a space. In 2003, Oren and Terry Thiessen agreed to create Harmony Village on the site of the closed Harmony School and to donate a classroom and the multipurpose room to the OCA. An architect and an acoustician were hired who created plans for turning our multipurpose room into a world-class performance space. In 2008, the final map for Harmony Village was approved, and our way was clear to launch a capital fundraising campaign to finance the completion of our plans and the construction of our Dream Art Center. In the midst of an economic downturn, we transformed our fundraising focus toward human capital for phase two of our construction. And from then until our grand opening in 2010, we completed $175,000 of construction work with $80,000 and over 7,000 logged hours of volunteer help. The result is an acoustically sound auditorium, a professional stage, light and soundboard, great sight lines, and art gallery. The Redwood Arts Council and Occidental Community Choir, long-term community presenting organizations, have moved their home to the OCA. We have performances, literary events, and visual art exhibits year-round. And I started taking a writing class at the home of Doris Murphy, one of the founders, and at the time she was 98. And we had our classes there for 2 years. And at the end of the 2 years, one of the my writing friends suggested that I might be a good fit for the board. And they started out by saying, and you only have to attend a meeting once a month.
Right. That's how it starts.
2 hours on a Monday, huh? Yeah.
So that's how I got involved. And as the newest member of the board, everybody had sort of attached themselves to a project. We have a gallery committee. We have a theater committee. We have a music committee. And so they had been wanting to have a film series for 2 or 3 years. And since I was the newest member and really didn't have a committee, so to speak, this is what I ended up doing, is producing the film series this year.
And you've kind of alluded to this diversity of cultural experiences that you bring to the community and to all of us here in the county. Mm-hmm. You list as part of the mission statement that you want it to be a welcoming and accessible venue for both performing and visual arts, and that part of this mission is to provide a diverse cultural experience that inspires, educates, and entertain. So, beyond the jargon, mm-hmm. give us some sense of what you've hosted in the past and what you will be hosting in the future, all of which is part of this diversity in cultural experience.
Well, for the film series, I saw it as an excellent opportunity to reach out to the community, all of the community. For instance, I've spoken with Annaly High School and El Molino High School because I think that it would be great to see some of our young filmmakers present. I had 5 months, and we started in January, the fourth Friday, which was the 25th, and presented a movie by Michael Lytle. And Michael Lytle is the chair of the SSU Film Institute, and his movie was called Gateless Gate. And the second presentation, which just happened Friday night, was by a young man named Jonathan Stuppen, which was a student of Michael Lytle, and then he left SSU and went to Montreal to film school. And then from film school, he went to Mongolia and made a movie, and it was called A Long Song from Mongolia. And it was really, it's a documentary. It was really well received and really nice. Our next movie is going to be by
what will that be?
Gary Carnevale, called Tipping the Scales. And it's about a transgender woman, and it's an LGBT movie. And the next one is in April, and it's by Patrick Fanning, who's on our board of directors. And he is quite talented, and he does everything well, and he's doing an assortment of shorts, the little short clips of films. And our last one is by a young man who is a surfer from Sonoma County, and it's a Sonoma County surfing movie where they actually, you'll see Goat Rock, I believe, in all of the surfing agenda. So that's the lineup, and so we actually have, you know, we've got surfers, we've got LGBT, we've got the professor from SSU, we've got a student, and we've got an assortment of shorts, and as well as the young lady Melba from the Media Center will also present, If You Were in My Shoes, a short. I ask her to join us, because actually, we're trying to have the movies at least an hour long, a little, not much longer than that, but about an hour. So we're going to have a number of shorts that would equal that. And then we have a Q&A session after the movie's over and with the filmmakers. And that's well received. We had a lot of people stay a long time to have their question answered by the filmmaker.
That's great.
Right. And Occidental is an area without a movie theater. I mean, it's sort of hard to imagine, any small town, and there's nothing in Monte Rio, there's nothing in Guerneville, there's nothing in Rio Nido.
Well, one of the unique things about the Occidental Center for the Arts for me is that most of the volunteers are artists. Or if they either do music, or they write books, or make films. So the volunteer hours, the 7,000 hours I was telling you about, I mean, they transformed this general space. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably the cafeteria. But anyway, it's an auditorium. It's world class, the sound system, the acoustics, everything. It's just a beautiful, beautiful space. And it was all done. We have one person who works for us half-time and gets paid. That's it.
Wow.
Everybody else does everything as a volunteer.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful space. Nice high ceilings. Like you said, the acoustics are amazing. Sunbell, who did our theme song and was a member of our team, performed there. Had a great concert there. Mm-hmm. And you have, so there's so much going on there. There's live music.
We have a quote show that ends March 3rd. It's called The Pointless Sisters Art Quotes Gallery Exhibit. And then we have a Thursday night figure drawing class. It's ongoing from 6:30 to 9. On Monday nights, which I'm a part of that, is a writing class. It's a 90-day, write a novel in 90 days. So anyway, that's from 7 to 9 on Monday nights.
Is it each person writing a novel?
Yes, each person.
Oh, each person is writing their novel. Okay,
yeah, and so it's called the 90-day novel class.
Wow.
So,
are you in that class?
I am. I am. And then we have a book launch by one of our board members, Patrick Fanning, and it's going to be February 22nd, and it's called Infidels Abroad, a novel of Mark Twain and John Singer Sargent in an alternative California. And then we have two fabulous girl groups showing up. We have a Sunday Salon, which we call The Legend of Isadora Duncan. Then we have another book launch by Emilio Gonzalez, and then we have a gallery exhibit called M for Mystique. And you can find out all of this information on our website as well.
Why do you suppose so many creative people tend to gravitate toward the maybe smaller, more isolated communities?
I think if you're initially starting out, you probably feel more comfortable. It's such a more homey environment, and people are very supportive. And, you know, when you're starting out as an artist, especially if you have another job, then this environment sort of brings people together that have different talents that they can all assist. For instance, I don't really know how to run a movie projector, but the director, one of the board of directors, is really a gem with that. So everybody that's involved in the center have various talents to donate, and it seems to all mesh, and none of us seem to really cross over that much because they're sort of specialized. I actually worked at an art gallery for the last 5 years, and when I started, I didn't know anything, and the person that I work with and the artist that I work with took the time to teach me, and I think this is what we have, even as volunteers at OCA, we teach each other some, you know, different things. And we have women on the facilities committee, so we've got hammers and nails. And, you know, we're doing great. Everything, you know, mm-hmm. that we can do. Anyone that can do is able. So I think that it's really challenging, but it's really satisfying when it all comes together and it
yeah,
turns
a,
out
a
right.
great collaborative mm-hmm. experience and endeavor.
Yeah. That's another reason to go to beautiful Occidental.
Well, on top of that, we just bought three new buildings. We had a capital campaign, and we bought the buildings. There were three buildings, and the bank wanted $185,000 for the three buildings. And we have a small fundraising team that consists of myself and two gentlemen. And we raised $200,000. Bought the buildings. Now we have a few bucks to kind of fix it up. So what the intent is to provide rental space for the community. For instance, if the art, you can rent it by the hour, you can rent it by the year, you can rent it by the month. It's $1 a square foot, and the three studios are 900 square feet.
Wow.
There you
but
go.
If you rent it by the hour, it's 20, depending, I think it's somewhere between $20 and $40.
Mm-hmm. Very, very
hour.
Reasonable.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to, you know, to be able to give the community an art source, because obviously they're cutting out all the programs in school, and so it seems to me that we could fill that void. And the turnout for the movies basically speak to that, because on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, we have 70 people, you know, at both of the events, and that's quite a large group on a Friday night at 7 o'clock when people have been working all week. And so they obviously would like to have movies. So hopefully I'll be able to ramp it up and keep it going.
Good. Give us just a little sense of what goes into finding a movie, maybe getting the proper rights to show the movie, publicizing it.
Okay. Well, these are all independent films, and they have never been shown before, usually, to, you know, especially distributed. They might have been shown, but they haven't been distributed, and they're not big movies. The way I approached it is, I'm an administrator at heart. Most of, you know, I've worked in entertainment and I've done motion pictures and all that, but I've always been a bean counter, somebody who counts dollars and makes sure you stay in a budget and so forth. So I sat down and I thought, well, I don't, you know, the Arts Center is it's a nonprofit, so the more money we can save to keep it going is better. So I raised $3,000 by when I was walking around my neighborhood, and one of the gentlemen, my neighbor, unfortunately, is the vice president of a financial institution, and he was out in the yard. So he ended up donating $500 to me and his marketing department, which is really a big thing, making posters and so forth. And then another person who was helping the OCA was the real estate person for the for buying the three buildings that we got, and he called me up and he said, I want to donate my commission. Who should I donate it to? And I was like, me. So he did. So that gave me a budget of $3,000, and then I have like 11 sponsors, and what I went to each one of them. For instance, in Forestville, I have the pharmacy. And what the pharmacy is doing for me is selling my tickets and displaying the poster. I went to the convalescent home, and they gave me water, which I could then put little labels on advertising all my movies, but they donated it to me. The bakery, the pizzeria, you know, just almost everybody, Barefoot wine sellers. I just got different people. I just talked to them and said, would you be interested in having advertisement for 5 months, you know, on my little posters? Mm-hmm. And so that's the way I was able to get about 10 sponsors. So I've been able to get help in that area.
Great.
And people were asking me about how I picked the movies. Well, for instance, let me just tell you about Gary. I'm in G&G Market at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I see Sister Sparkle Plenty. And I say to her, I need an LGBT movie. Call Gary. And that's how we met.
There you go.
And so then he gave me his movie, which I really, really liked. And so I signed him up, and I'm very grateful.
Good.
You know, and most of the people that I went to, I just, once it started, it just kind of took its own life, and just got, you know, introduced to more people who had independent films.
Sure. And Gary, since you're the captive person right here, tell us, you know, we featured a show or two with Michelle Rocking Horse mm-hmm. Garcia and certainly talked about tipping the scales, but here you are. So tell us about it.
Yes. Well, Michelle's an extraordinary woman. She actually, we met here because she worked here, and she was also a member of the Outbeat team. Before moving away, she moved with her partner back to Nashville a few years ago. But before she left, we decided to start a project together. First, we did a music video together, and then I thought, your life is just fascinating. The more I got to know her, you know, being transgender and you know, working with gender stereotypes and gender roles from the time she was young and even attempting to transition right after high school, not to give her age away, but she should be proud of it, but in the late 60s, and then trying to transition and having relationships with women and cross-dressing and the things that transgender people go through that it's hard to imagine. And during that time, also, she's Native American, so she was involved with the Native American movement. So there was this the LGBT aspect and this Native American aspect, and then getting how did those relate to one another, because there's the whole idea of being two-spirit in Native American culture. It's wonderful to have a chance to show the film. This will be the North Bay premiere. We've only showed it once in San Francisco. So it's really exciting that, that Sister Sparkle was there, man. I'll have to get him, her, something else. She did get some beautiful fabric from India. But again, it's that nice network of people that say, oh, you should talk to, which is how we do this show and how Raynetta operates. It's, you know, just ask around, chat with people, and someone will say, oh, yes, I know a sculptor, I know a painter, I know someone who should be in the gallery.
Well, that's my attitude. Usually I say, well, I don't know how to do this, but I certainly know how to ask a professional. You know, I'll know how to go to someone who will. I mean, that's part of administration, coordination, mm-hmm. and producing, is that to go to the people that can answer the questions.
Right.
And then I got introduced to Gary, and Gary and I met. And so now, like a couple hundred dollars later in my film classes,
at the Community Center of the North Bay.
And he goes, you should join. And so I joined. So now I'm taking film classes. You know, thanks to Gary. It's quite interesting. I think the problem that one must realize is that when you get into something that you don't know the jargon, you're not really familiar with what people are saying to you. You know, I sort of have done this all of my careers. I get a job and then I have to learn how to do it.
So. But that's the best way to do it, really, just total immersion.
Right. So I don't, and that's really good because I don't have any kind of fear or anxiety or any of that stuff. Most people, because I don't know what to expect. Mm. I don't, you know, I'm just sort of going along doing what I've tried to do, you know, get the marketing out, talk to people about it, talk it up, but not really knowing if anybody will show up or not or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
it's the community supporting itself.
It is.
Their business, there's artists, bringing everyone together. I mean, you work very hard. The board is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, cities, countries are having to close theaters and concert halls because they can't afford it. And here you're doing it with no funds from the government, no.
Well, actually, I'm always seeming to be involved in that because I live in Forestville, and I help raise money for the park. And the park is like the only privately owned park west of the Rockies, as far as I know. So it's all run by volunteers. Start with $17.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and every year we have a barbecue and we have, you know, two events that we mm-hmm. hope will help, you know, sustain it. But we don't have any park and rec money at all.
And I think you are leading the pack in terms of a sustainable model and a model for the future, because more and more this is going to be the way these mm-hmm. kinds of programs, the arts and volunteerism mm-hmm. and cultural enrichment, the way it all survives, it is through the people and through the networks and the connections that we make. So you're leading the way in a futuristic kind of sense of the word.
Well, I guess I'm just really glad to be retired so I can just do things that I would have always sort of thought I'd like to do, but you know, didn't have the time. And now that I'm doing it, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy being out in the community and seeing what the community has to offer. So, you know, I'm all open to looking at movies from anybody who's independent and it hasn't been distributed. And, you know, we have a beautiful venue to put it on. And as Gary can tell you, I've been talking about this since October, so it's finally his turn, but we've been working on it since October.
Yeah, good. And when you're not working with community involvement and cultural things, you do have an interest in working as an advocate and liaison for the elderly.
I do. When I moved to Sonoma County about 14 years ago, I went to the senior center. I was raised by my grandparents, and I've always said to them, when I retire, I want to work with seniors because I've just enjoyed my life with you so much that I want to give, you know, help other seniors because my grandparents were wonderful. So when I got here, I went to the senior center in Forestville, and they needed somebody to work in the kitchen. So I went up there, and I said, oh, you need someone to work in the kitchen, and I was talking to them, and they said, no, I think we have another job for you. So they got me appointed to the Area Agency on Aging, representing the 5th District. Mike Riley was the supervisor. And on that Area Agency on Aging, that's when I spent 4 years learning as much as I could about seniors. Mm-hmm. And the Elder Abuse Prevention Project was started, and a lady that lives here now had been doing it for 12 years by herself. So I volunteered to work with her. So I've only been doing it for the last 7 years and, you know, just going to court with her. And it's really a really heart-wrenching sort of situation because when you talk about abuse, one of the problems is that the victim is always afraid that no one else will want to take care of them. So even though they're being ill-treated and not, you know, being treated well, it's better than that isolation and loneliness that I think a lot of seniors, you know, especially I have 4 or 5 seniors that I know that are 96. Mm-hmm. So lots of their friends have passed on and, you know, they don't really have any peers left. And so that group, but they're very, you know, with it and everything. But one of the things that you do, I've noticed with the seniors I work with is they start to isolate. And so trying to get a senior to go out and all that. And this is why I teach fall prevention for seniors. And I've, taught about 700 Sonoma County seniors. I started 8 years ago. And my contract was only supposed to be for 3. So, but I enjoy teaching fall prevention to the seniors. And it empowers them and gives them skills. But also, you know, just working with seniors who, I work with seniors at Oakmont, for instance. And, the first question they said is, well, we wouldn't have abuse, would we? And my answer to them is, do you have a telephone? Do you have a door? Because those are the gateways into to you.
Yeah.
Boy, and that's another show. We can have you back and talk much more about the importance of being an advocate and liaison and educating.
Yeah. Give us the website one more time.
The website is OccidentalCenterForTheArts.org.
Great, Renata. Thanks so much.
Excellent. And so we do want to thank Emily for being with us. Once again, Renata, most welcome to have you, or most glad to have you here, and thank you so much for what you're doing. Next week, it's Outbeat News In Depth. Next month, Gary, Mary, and I will be back. Our guest then, Colin Turek, board member of a new political group known as the Sonoma County Stonewall Democrats, and also Miguel Luan and Robert Mueller, organizers of Out and About Santa Rosa. Thank you for listening to Outbeat Radio, KRCB.